You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as every Friday morning, Joel Skousen, who's here to bring us up to date on some fascinating stories. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. It's good to be with you.
What are we going to be covering this morning?
Well, we're going to first talk about the real agenda of Donald Trump's movement into the political scenery. I really smell rat here, Stan, the sudden appearance of Donald Trump on the political scene, pretending to be either a Republican or independent, combined with an inordinate amount of free media attention and false polling results, indicates that the establishment is once again trying to split the mass of voters aiming at removing Barack Obama in 2012. This is, of course, most disturbing because right now polls would show that Barack Obama is a one-term president. But the establishment apparently is, like they did with Ross Perot, going to run an independent campaign to undo the Republican advantage. That's what they did in 1992 when George H.W. Bush was running, and it worked. Later, they brought him out in politics again with his Reform Party to split the opposition to Bill Clinton and ensure Bill Clinton a second term. Now, Trump has billions of dollars of his own money to spend. He appears to be taking the same role as Perot, and this is the strongest evidence so far that the powers that be, as they say, intend to give us four more years of Obama, the imposter. Well, Donald Trump is not, in my opinion, a serious candidate, but that doesn't mean he can't do political damage to the Tea Party rebellion, which has always been in danger of being co-opted. He's a loudmouth, egotistical buffoon who has no respect among thinking people. The same was true of Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, and look what the establishment did, and he showed up as governor of California to California's regret. Well, normally a candidate with weird coiffed hairdo and a stupid reality TV show like Trump wouldn't be given the time of day by the media, but combined with Trump's promotion of the birther issue, and that means, you know, Obama's lack of a long-form hospital-recorded doctor-signed birth certificate, and he's got a recipe for extreme ridicule and derision. But no, instead, Trump is given huge press, allowed to discuss this openly. Something's wrong with this picture. It is interesting to postulate, of course, why Trump picked the issue of Obama's ineligibility to jumpstart his campaign. It is a burning issue with many Americans, and fully a third of the public, according to polls, doubts that Obama is eligible to be president. But unfortunately, far fewer than that are really upset by it. It's a serious charge, and it's absolutely true, but no other Republican candidate will touch it. And that's what gives Trump a leg up politically, at least as far as attracting away votes from those in our camp who are frustrated with the lackluster performance of the Republican opposition in Congress. I mean, frankly, even Ron Paul won't touch the birth certificate thing. But as Politico.com pointed out, Donald Trump's birther crusade could be a boon to him in Iowa. A whopping 48% of Iowa Republicans said they don't believe that Obama was born in the United States. Another 26% said they weren't sure whether or not the president was born in America as the Constitution requires. Now, that totals up to about 75% of those polled in Iowa really have doubts about Obama. So Obama isn't going to do well in Iowa.
But Joel, as with so many of the issues, you know, that is not the issue at all. You know, was he born in the United States? Wasn't he? No. You know, certainly he may very well be eligible, but the real issue is, I mean, who's controlling Obama? Look what his policies are doing. He's spinning us into oblivion. So, I mean, that may be a great talking point, but that isn't the issue at all. And Trump is using a not significant issue. The big thing is Obama is, at least the people who control him, are destroying our economy intentionally by spending us into oblivion. And this is what's happened with so many other countries and taking us from war to war. And he's lied about getting our troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq. And those are the major issues, not whether he was eligible, but they focused our attention on the wrong issues, and as you point out, why, of course, it appeals to certain people.
Well, there's another view to this, though, too, Stan, because remember, Bush was spending us into oblivion, too. He'd be doing the same thing that Obama does. So the issue is there's a conspiracy to control both the major political parties, and, in fact, the birther issue is a fairly strong evidence of conspiracy because of the fact that there was a major cover-up of the birth certificate, and still going on, and it includes the courts. You know, when two Supreme Court justices said they would hear the case and then they don't do it, when it finally gets to them, somebody's getting to them.
Sure.
Our supposed conservative judges aren't really conservative. I remember the one in California who vowed he would make sure this got a full hearing, with full evidentiary hearing, and then he squashed it. Somebody got to him. So I'm sure you agree with that. But
I do.
We do have to understand that we have to push issues that prove conspiracy, because conspiracy is the only thing that's going to stop people from having faith in the establishment Republican Party saving us, which they will not do. House Speaker John Boehner, for example, responded to media queries about Obama's certificate of live birth from Hawaii, and he said, it's good enough for me. Well, gee, when you have the House Speaker, a Republican, saying that and just defaulting on this very important subject, then you know that he's compromised. Well, it certainly isn't good enough for the rest of us that Obama can, his mother can either mail in or walk into any state office and declare that she's the mother of a child born outside of a hospital and get a certificate of live birth. In fact, Hawaii has a reputation for attracting being foreigners who falsely declare a birth because it's so easy to do there in Hawaii. The trouble is, Obama claims to have been born in the hospital, which would have generated a doctor-signed long-form birth certificate, which is not what his campaign is passing around to the press. They're showing a certificate of live birth, and in fact, it appears to be Photoshopped because there's a couple of different versions and not the same. Neither of Oahu's operating hospitals mentioned by the family have any record of Obama's birth or the presence of the mother. And publishing a notice of birth in a house of Honolulu newspaper is not proof, because it's true that hospitals will give notices of birth to the newspapers, but the individuals can do the same, too. And that's apparently what happened. A blogger who goes by Blue Corn had some pretty good facts about Hawaii's system. He said Obama was not registered at a center used by the hospitals, meaning a center for statistics in the state of Hawaii where you register these births. He was
Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
The people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, we're talking about Donald Trump's entrance into the political foray and the attempts to make the birth issue something that will bring him notoriety within the conservative community. The establishment, of course, are circling the wagons and trying to protect Obama. This is a major conspiracy of including judges and college officials and everybody who's been told to to keep this information about Obama being a foreign student at various universities from coming out in the open. In fact, I think if we knew the full story, we'd find out that the political pressure was put on Harvard University to name him as head of the Harvard Law Review, which is a very prestigious position in law school, in order to prepare the way for him to have political office, and that occurred many years ago. So this has been, you know, the creation of a Manchurian candidate for a long time. Well, why Governor Neil Abercrombie stepped deeper into the cow pies this week by claiming the impossible, that he had laid eyes on Barack Obama a few days after he was born. Obama's parents, he claims that Obama's parents introduced their newborn friends at the University of Hawaii, where he was going to college with the president's father. Hawaii readers were quick to refute those claims. There are records that Stanley and Durham didn't hang out in Hawaii at all to enjoy these student gatherings, as Abercrombie suggests. She was in Washington State as a student, had to be there for the opening of the semester by August 18th. And, in fact, in other times, Abercrombie's first recollection of Obama Jr. was 4 years old playing T-ball. Now, all of a sudden, he remembers the kid only a few days old. So there's a big cover-up here. Besides the testimony by Ambassador Keys, or Ambassador of Kenya, to the U.S. on live radio that Obama was born in Kenya, we have the testimony surrounding his grandmother, who talked about Obama being at a Muslim festival in Mombasa, Kenya, in August, on August 4th, and that they had gone swimming. She started to have contractions and gave birth. And there's quite a bit of detail the grandmother provides about her giving birth in Coast Provincial Hospital, where Obama was born. Even has the time, 7:21 p.m. on August 4th. 4 days later, of course, his mother flies to Hawaii and registers his birth in Honolulu as a certificate of live birth, which doesn't have, of course, because it's for people who birth outside the hospitals, and so you don't have a record of a hospital birth. Of course, Trump doesn't have all these details, so perhaps he's a harmless foil in the movement against Obama's eligibility. But still, allowing Trump to have significant airtime on this issue is a glaring exception to the media's virulent and hidden policy of denigrating anything that smacks of conspiracy, including this multi-million-dollar cover-up of Obama's background. Now, this reinforces my belief that Trump is part of a concerted plan to draw off hardcore independents and a portion of constitutional conservatives who are angry enough and disgusted enough for the mainstream Republican to vote with Trump. This is very similar to what Ross Perot did in 1992 and 96. He came out in favor of hardcore policies like balancing the federal budget, stopping abortion, ending outsourcing of jobs, and opposing gun control, which he had no intention of pursuing if elected. But as soon as he became a potential candidate, he was polling close to the two major party candidates, and that was, of course, because the polling organizations have a very adept ability to word the questions and to seed the telephone calls to predictable areas of various cities. What makes Trump's opposition to Obama so ludicrous is his history of political contributions to Democrats and liberal Republicans, not to mention prior positions in favor of abortion, dozens of other liberal causes. And I mentioned in a brief quote extensively from D.B. Kidd's article that she wrote in NewsWithViews.com where she documents these political donations. She says, since the 1990 election cycle, the top 10 recipients of Trump's political contributions number 6 Democrats and 4 Republicans, including embattled and corrupt Representative Charlie Rangel, Senator John McCain, who's anathema to real conservative people, who has he collected some 13,000. Even Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid has received the fourth largest amount of Trump's largesse. He's also given money to John Kerry, Tom Daschle, Joe Biden, as I said, Harry Reid, Rahm Emanuel, Hillary Clinton, and Anthony Weiner, and Charles Schumer. I mean, this is a who's who list of the most liberal people in Congress, and we're supposed to believe that he's in opposition to Obama? All pro-abortion politicians, you know, that he has supported are also pro-homosexual and pro-lesbian. He's also supported many liberal causes, including massive tax increases that display a stunning lack of knowledge of how to create jobs. Trump also advocated universal health care in his 2000 book, America We Deserve, writing that the goal should be to make reforms for the moment and longer term to find an equivalent of the single-payer plan that has been so affordable and well-administered in other countries. I mean, this is just incredible with this guy. But, you know, when businessmen like Trump write books like The America We Deserve, they are positioning themselves early on for a political run someday, just like Newt Gingrich keeps writing books, you know, to position himself for the presidency and test the waters. Well, of course, he already has admitted that he's considering a Republican presidential bid, but he also has said and told the Wall Street Journal that he is probably going to run as an independent. That means he intends to play the spoiler, whichever party or whichever faction in politics accepts him. Frankly, in my opinion, Trump has no chance of winning, but that's not really his purpose. All he has to do is split off a major percentage of the anti-Obama vote, and he can stop any Republican from winning. And it won't be hard to do. The field's already crowded as the media keeps promoting nearly half a dozen candidates as serious and manipulating poll results to make them all look like potential winners.
Yes, it's going to be a very, very interesting situation. And instead of everybody rallying behind a legitimate candidate like Ron Paul, why are they going to be split by all these other people who are throwing their hat in the ring? And many of them, of course, are being put, those hats are being thrown in by the very conspiracy we're talking about.
That's right. I think it's very important to realize. Now, the natural strong candidate left over from last cycle is Mitt Romney. He's got the most notoriety, the most name recognition. His support is fairly stable, despite attempts by the media to downplay that and promote other competitors. He's got a lot of money, business acumen. Those are strong points. He's fairly charismatic. So he can't be denied a major position in the race. But Romney may be his own worst enemy as he keeps trying to defend the indefensible. Of course, with bad advice from his establishment advisors, who I think are trying to sabotage him. I mean, somebody keeps telling him to be unrepentant on his stand on Romney Care, that is, the mandatory health insurance system he pushed as governor of Massachusetts. And I think that's going to sink him with conservatives. Politico.com confirms this, saying while Romney is polling second in the Hawkeye state, the poll also points to a potential pothole in the road. 63% of Iowa GOP where Republicans say supporting a state-level health insurance mandate is a disqualifier for them. Only 11% say they'd be willing to support someone who backed the state-level bill mandating that voters have health insurance, as Romney did. In reality, that may be a disqualifier in a primary, but it's certainly not one that a candidate is, after a candidate is chosen, Republicans tend to band together and support whoever. I mean, look what they did in supporting John McCain, who was another great hypocrite and deceiver. If they can support McCain, they can certainly support, another far lesser evil. Still, the powers that be have Mike Huckabee in the wings, ready to run against Romney should they need to pull the anti-Mormon card and use it against among conservative Christians. That rerun of 2008 is still a factor today. Polls in Iowa, the first primary state, show Huckabee leading Romney 27% to 16%. But Huckabee's not to be trusted either. He has carried a lot of water for the establishment when he was governor of Arkansas, which is a very corrupt and controlled state. It has been ever since Bill Clinton was in charge there and did so many illegal things by laundering drug money for the federal government through the state bond fund and many other such things. But, you know, I was a little bit worried when George H.W. Bush, a high-level insider on the dark side of government, came out and said that he thought Romney would make a good president. I thought perhaps at the time, this was about 6 months ago when he said that, that the establishment may have decided they can control Romney, so anxious is he to please them in order to get elected. Now, that may still be true, but I think they would still rather not have someone like Romney who, being very smart, you know, might see something as president, and they'd have to control him as they did Ronald Reagan, who wasn't a conspirator, but he got in despite their attempts to stop him, and they threw an assassination attempt at Reagan because he was starting to fight back too much. The big thing that worries me about Romney is his excess ambition and hunger for the presidency. That makes him vulnerable to the influence of insiders who promise to be able to deliver him the presidency. And that only happens, you know, when you take the neocon establishment line, which he has done. The only good position I can recall that he took foreign policy-wise was to be against the ratification of the START Treaty. And I think the only reason he did that was he had to have a position that was different than Obama. Well, Sarah Palin's campaign is dying as the media has been all too effective in pointing out her lack of intellect on the issues. She's still hopeful, of course, and will be in the running during the primaries, even though I think that she knows she can't win. At best, I think she'll qualify as a vice president candidate because she still has lots of media appeal, and that may be worth it for both her and the Republican establishment. Polling in Iowa shows Palin on par with Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul. Paul's the only candidate who can never be bought or corrupted, that's very interesting, frankly, that Ron Paul's polling as high as Sarah Palin, who's had tons more press than Ron Paul. Ron Paul, in fact, is much stronger a candidate than he was the first time he ran as a Republican in 2008. He has gotten tremendous respect in Congress. He and his son, Rand Paul, are essentially are on the cutting edge of all of the top conservative programs, including the budget proposals to really set the course of the country straight. And I think he'll be a much stronger candidate in the Republican field. Newt Gingrich announced that he wasn't going to run for the presidency after placing very low in early polls in CPAC and other conservative gatherings. But apparently few have forgotten his betrayals when he was Speaker of the House. But I don't think Gingrich has given up altogether. After all, he's a key globalist wolf in sheep's clothing, just like Rudy Giuliani, who I think is also thinking of running again. That just proves, Stan, that I think the establishment is just trying to cloud the field with so many people that nobody comes forward and just to split the movement in a thousand pieces. Gingrich has just written another book, and he doesn't do that unless he's still trying to be president. Get this, the book's called A Nation Like No Other, Why American Exceptionalism Matters. I mean, this is an incredibly arrogant book. This is a justify-all book on U.S. military intervention and monetary hegemony that will further Newt Gingrich's neocon legacy. A new book by Gingrich is always a sign he's maneuvering for power. This guy is as slick as they come, and, I'm hopeful that the signs are that the establishment isn't going to buy Newt Gingrich any more than they are Rudy Giuliani. Well, this election cycle is going to be a wild ride, Stan, with lots of people dropping out and new faces being promoted until the establishment finds out what will work and what won't work to deceive the American people again. If there's one thing conservatives need to know, it's that anyone being promoted by the establishment is compromised. There's only one thing that matters anymore, and that's the personal integrity and the absolute independence of a candidate from the establishment powers. In my opinion, only Ron Paul qualifies in that regard. He is simply incorruptible, and that's what we need today. Don't settle for anything less, no matter what they say or what they promise. You know, people may not believe or agree with Ron Paul on 100% of the issues, but we need somebody in here who won't betray us. We need somebody in there who can't be bought. We need someone who we can trust. And I think Ron Paul's our best bet.
I certainly would concur with that.
Well, Well, I'm going to enter a hotter topic because it's sensitive. I don't usually talk about a particular church, but especially one that I'm associated with. But the Mormon Church is really being strongly criticized for hypocrisy on two major
issues. Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here on a very controversial subject.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest is Nurse Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, I'm going to ask you if you'll put out your information on how people could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and then you might want to mention the books that you've written. We do carry them, Sending on Strategic Relocation, The Secure Home. They're among our bestsellers, so why don't you put the information out?
Thank you, Stan. My World Affairs Brief comes out every Friday. We're coming out sometime this day after this interview. It's available for review on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and people can get a free sample issue about what we're talking about today by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. My books are, as you said, are selling very, very well. My major work is called The Secure Home, 700 pages, big as a telephone book, about everything and how to do a high-security residence or retreat, or remodeling, and everything about security systems and shuttering systems, special ballistic-proof walls, many things are in the book in a full section on self-sufficiency. The top seller I have now is the third edition of Strategic Relocation. It's an all-new rewrite, including a major section on foreign country retreats, as well as all new color maps of every state and province in North America, as well as a regional analysis. It's tremendously important for people, I think, to consider relocating for security, since most people live in high-density population areas, which are very vulnerable during a crisis or a war in the future, which I think is inevitable. The third book is How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. That's a book on how to do a safe room within an existing building. And each of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
At 1-800-544-8927. We carry them. We think they're great. And an awful lot of people must, because we sell a lot of them. That's 1-800-544-8927 for Joel Skousen's books on strategic relocation, the secure home, etc. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the Mormon Church being criticized for hypocrisy. And the problem, if I can set the stage, is that in the church, there's a tension being building between its conservative base. Most Mormons are very conservative. They consider the Constitution an inspired document from the Lord. One of their scriptures, the Book of Mormon, talks about, in fact, it's the only scripture that talks specifically about America and the danger warned the Book of Mormon prophets of a secret combination that would take over our government. And so Mormons have been very conservative over the years. They've not been pro-federal because they were persecuted. But because of that persecuted background, church leadership, especially in the 20th century and even now in the past two presidents, has bent over backwards to try to gain acceptance in the world and try to get the world to accept them as not being this weird cult or sect. And one of the offshoots of that is that they have begun to, you know, seek to play the moderate role. And you know, as conservatives, Mormons and otherwise, don't like the moderate role, because the moderate role means playing along with the establishment. And the church began pandering to the gay and lesbian lobby, who, of course, really came out and attacked the church for its support of Proposition 8, not only its support, but it got millions of Mormons in California go house to house to help get that thing passed. So the church is hated by the homosexual lobby. Instead of accept the fact that that's going to be a natural tension forever, because the church will never accept that the gay and lesbian lifestyle is acceptable. The church truly accepts the biblical doctrine that homosexuality is evil, and the Lord will never accept it, and the church will never accept it. But nevertheless, trying to get over the criticism, they supported incredibly, to the shock of conservatives like myself and many others, a gay and lesbian anti-discrimination law in Salt Lake County. What was particularly galling to members is that the Mormon Church carved out an exception in the law, worked out a deal so that the church itself would be exempt. But members who hold the same, you know, doctrinal feelings of the church are not exempt. And so this was a very, very disconcerting thing. The second thing, of course, has been promoting a form of illegal alien for amnesty for illegal aliens in Utah. In this second case, the church has run squarely up against the charge of hypocrisy, having made obedience to secular law one of the cardinal articles of faith in the church. Most conservative Mormons recall the church excommunicating Mormons who were tax protesters of conscience, despite the fact that their objection to the tax was based on the principle that the income tax was improper and unconstitutional. The church's common rejoinder to beleaguered conservatives who disliked the growing unconstitutional and evil trend of law was, go change it. Of course, being a small minority of voters, that's rarely possible. And yet the church, relative to illegal immigrants, has been knowingly going against the law in several ways and hiding it from ordinary members. A few years ago, in 2005, the church asked Utah Senator Orrin Hatch to get an exception to law approved by the feds that would absolve religious organizations like the church of criminal liability for knowingly allowing undocumented immigrants to serve as missionaries. Now, that's how the church allows undocumented immigrants to serve missions in the USA, because of that exception that they gained through Senator Orrin Hatch. Church members were unaware of the silent policy of calling missionaries in the U.S. who were undocumented, because it would be highly contradictory to the church's position on obeying the law of the land. Normal Mormons would be denied permission to enter the temple if they were found guilty of knowingly disobeying laws, and yet the church was knowingly calling illegal alien missionaries and giving them temple recommends, knowing that they were in open violation of immigration laws. Now, this all came to light when an illegal alien Mormon missionary was ending his mission in April of 2009. He was arrested on his return flight from Cincinnati because he lacked the necessary documentation to board his flight. In its public statement regarding the incident, the church neglected to mention the subject of how an illegal alien got to be a missionary in the first place. The resolution, rather than admit error, the church simply changed the travel arrangements for all undocumented missionaries and had their relatives drive them home across the country rather than fly. Well, members were fairly easily placated about the foregoing episode due to the high justification all things missionary plays within the church. But not so the latest dust-up, when the church played a rather heavy lobbying role in getting the legislature to pass Utah's version of amnesty for illegals. This was even more disturbing to members because the church often claims it does not actively lobby when in fact it does. Libertarian conservatives like myself don't mind if the church lobbies as long as they're honest and upfront about it. In our opinion, a church has just as much right as any organization representing citizens to use its influence to see that proper laws are passed or repealed, IRS policies notwithstanding. But lobbying in secret and claiming that you don't is inappropriate for any church that claims to be representing the Lord. Well, church secret lobbying came to light a few years ago when the Chinese government privately appealed to the church to get its Mormon members of Congress to back Chinese entrance into the World Trade Organization. This came about because the church has often played up to the Chinese government, despite its tyrannical nature, trying to get China to open up their country to missionary work. The church made its wishes known, being compliant to the Chinese request, to each Mormon congressman, and every one of them complied. Only later, when conservative outrage took aim at removing Congressman Chris Cannon for supporting this, did they find out that the church had lobbied them in secret.
Hold that thought. We'll be back at this moment with Go Scouts.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Kingdom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, for the final segment. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the controversy between Mormon conservatives against their own leadership for promoting an amnesty for illegal aliens within Utah. Mormon conservatives have such an uncompromising faith in their leaders that they often won't believe something's wrong, that something is wrong, until the church admits it, which they hardly ever do. In this case, the church is only admitting to encouraging compassion to illegals. But it's much more than that. The Church on Deseret News would only repeat the church justification about the loving doctrine that justifies this while avoiding any admission that the church was supporting that which was a violation of the current law. But there's a major rebellion going on among LDS legislators in Utah. Many of them have come out in the open and said the church did pressure them to vote for this. And more than 2,400 people going to the Republican convention in Salt Lake City have signed an online petition supporting repeal of this bill. And in any case, the church would only come out and repeat its support for the so-called Utah Compact. This was a carefully crafted statement giving lip service to enforcement but promoting a gentler kind of response to illegal immigration. Now, everybody knew that they were meaning amnesty when they put this thing out. No mention of obeying the existing law of the land, which is the official church position, problematic as that is. Even I don't believe in obeying all law of the land just because it's the law of the land. I think God does not justify obedience to law unless it's commensurate with the laws of God, the laws of liberty, and other conditions. And not a few members were shaken up by this obvious hypocrisy in the church. But instead of putting together a principled statement on the rightness or wrongness of various types of law, the church is choosing to arbitrarily lobby against or work around laws which get in the way of its missionary goals, and yet expect members to obey other laws, no matter how bad, if they don't affect the church directly. So the big problem here is that the Utah church, which has a great deal of influence with members because of this support for leadership, which is prominent among the doctrine of the church, caused them to vote against something which they felt bad about in their conscience. And now they're having and wanting to repeal this and having to fight their own church to get this repeal. For example, when the Salt Lake Tribune, which is the non-Mormon newspaper in Salt Lake City, started to do an investigation, they talked to Kurt Ramble, one of the primary senators. He's LDS, who put together this omnibus legislation or immigration bill that reflected the church's interest. Ramble told the Salt Lake Tribune Wednesday that Senate leaders asked him to see if he could come up with an alternative to an Arizona enforcement-only approach. He said, "I was never asked by the church to run a piece of legislation." Well, maybe not directly, but it was relayed to him in a manner that was obvious that that's what the church wanted. LDS lobbyists did, Bramble said, make it clear where the church stood on immigration, pro-amnesty. Throughout the years, Mormon representatives have weighed in on bills about alcohol, the definition of marriage, and even tax policy. But Bramble, who's an LDS member, said, in his 11 years of the legislature, it's fair to say that they were at least as engaged on this issue of immigration as any other on the Capitol Hill. When asked, does this mean their involvement was the most ever, he said yes. So you see, Bramble was trying to cover for the fact that there was significant lobbying and make it appear as if there wasn't. Representative Brian King said Wednesday he didn't experience any pressure from LDS representatives, and that's because he was already a Democrat and on the side of amnesty. The church made it pretty clear in subtle and unsubtle ways that it supported a more moderate approach to dealing with immigration than the Arizona solution. And Ron Mortensen, who's done the most research, he's also LDS, about LDS lobbying on this subject, said the retired, and he's a retired U.S. Foreign Service officer, and he claimed in his history that LDS lawmakers personally opposed the guest worker amnesty program in Utah, but felt they had to support it because of their allegiance and deference to the church's leaders. A Utah state senator told a constituent that he was compelled to vote for the bill, which he philosophically opposed because of what the LDS church wanted him to do. So there has been some legislature, some lobbying, and I'm not as opposed to lobbying, but I want them to do it openly. And instead of justifying this on the fact of compassion, In fact, let me address what I think is the real reason why. It's not about switching from a reverence to law to a merciful, compassionate approach. The latter has always been a position of the church and a doctrine of all Christians, with the exception that mercy is not allowed to rob justice. In my observation, the Mormon Church is at least under the leadership of past Presidents Gordon B. Hinckley and his successor Thomas S. Monson, has two overriding passions which have driven its policies relative to the outside world. One is missionary work, and two is gaining acceptance within the world for the church, stemming in part from a past history of severe persecution and misunderstanding. Now, there's nothing wrong with those two goals as long as one does not sacrifice one's principles in order to achieve them. And that's the rub. The signs of compromise and purposeful blindness to the problems associated with these goals are becoming evident. For example, the church is facing some significant issues relative to missionary work. Fewer and fewer converts are coming from the educated thinking classes of people. In Europe, for example, hardly any native Europeans are joining the church. Almost all converts are refugees, simple people from Africa and South America that are struggling to find work in Europe and look upon the church at least partially as a system of support, welfare assistance, and the hope of a pathway to America. Now, the church doesn't make judgments about the quality of converts, but they should. There is a difference, and it is showing up in church statistics as large numbers of these refugee converts don't stay within the church. New converts often come from poverty-stricken backgrounds and have a tough time with the control skills and the will it takes to live a religion that requires a lot, both in terms of its health code, church attendance, 3 hours on Sunday, time serving as lay teachers, and tithing donations, which is 10% of income. So in many regards, rather than the church accepting a smaller pool of potential converts and the resulting lower numbers of baptisms, the church missionary department has tended to develop more, quote, effective ways of reaching people, and what that hoping to keep the numbers high. With the faith-based religion, falling numbers were often relayed to missionaries as failing to have faith or lack of worthiness to get the blessing.
Joe, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much. Talk to you next week.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Freedom Network, and I would simply point out that I believe almost every religious group in the world has been infiltrated at the top There's no question that the Catholic Church has been infiltrated. That's the reason for the pedophilia there and for the Satanism. And those of you who haven't heard our four-tape set on the wisdom of Malachi Martin, you need to first hear his description that he gives in his book, The Windswept House, was really a book based upon fact about the satanic ceremony in the basement of the Vatican, where they had a feigned human sacrifice, but it was timed to correspond with a real human sacrifice. But we see the same thing in the Protestant Church. Certainly when we find that the man who led the National Association of Evangelicals was actually a cocaine-using homosexual named Ted Haggard, and he wouldn't have been there if he hadn't had powerful friends within the hierarchy of the Protestant faith. And I fear that the Mormon Church has been infiltrated. Certainly the Jewish religion has been infiltrated. There is a world satanic conspiracy. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to understand what's going on. You need to understand there really are secret societies. If you'd like to know about the Bohemian Grove, we have a four-tape set on it. We have a great DVD where you'll actually see the true pictures of the men who lead our country with their hoods, with their capes, with their candles, holding a satanic ceremony in front of the 40-foot owl, a famed human sacrifice. And, of course, what does the owl represent? Well, we have their secret documents, books, which I had to pay a great deal for, only for members of the Bohemian Grove. And what the leading page says, all it says on it is, we revere the owl. Who is the owl? Why, it's a symbolic of Satan. Now, does that mean that every member of the Bohemian Grove understands that? Absolutely not. But some of them do. And, of course, to put this all into context, we have a great new four CDs, four CDs in each one, on the Illuminati by Dr. Cuddy, and that he puts all of these things into perspective because, of course, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, they all tie together into this Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, the Illuminati was simply one of a series of organizations dedicated to the one world government and the destruction of Christianity and the establishment of a new religion. And why do you think that when we took Iraq and Afghanistan and put in new constitutions, they were under Sharia laws where they could persecute the Christians? Why do you think they took God, prayer, and the Ten Commandments and the Bible out of our schools? And, of course, President Obama opposed the National Day of Prayer and wanted to cover up the Christian emblem behind the stage there at Georgetown University when he spoke. You have to understand there's a conspiracy against the God of the Bible. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. You need to go there. You need to watch our DVDs. They're free. Listen to our radio programs. You can get them archived or lived. Certainly, read our newsletters. The information is there. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. Pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and the others on the front lines of the battle. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Our provision and protection until, well, Monday at the same time. May the Lord be with you.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $350 shipping.